Been told that I've got just a little bit of that in me. And so I think we discover a lot about ourselves and a lot about God through stories. And here's one. Back when that photo was taken, I was a waiter. I worked my way up from a dishwasher and moved to a better restaurant and waited tables, almost fired the first time because I just shook. But I learned and I got better at it. And I moved to a better restaurant and a better restaurant and a better restaurant. And then I ran out of better restaurants because I was in one of the best. And here I am in a tuxedo and they're filming a commercial for on television. I was really good at waiting on tables and giving great service. I knew the menu by heart. I knew the people who came in by face. And I would pay attention to what they ordered and pay attention to their credit card. And when they would come in a few days or weeks later, "Welcome, Mr. and Mrs. Robinson. So glad you're back here. Will you be having the usual this evening?" And they would say, "How do you know who I am?" "Well, you paid with your credit card last time, and you really enjoyed the lobster. Would you like that again?" "Oh, yes, of course. And what about drinks?" And I just had a way of making people feel welcomed. And often I would go home with a lot of money. That kind of help was good motivation for me to get to know the people. But one day, one night, I was waiting on two people at a great restaurant. I gave them great service, was attentive, anticipated their needs. And when they left $1. Their bill was over $100-something. They left $1. At first I thought, what did I do wrong? Was there something that was really bad? Did I give them rotten service? I said, no, everything I did was right. But they only left $1. And then I got mad. At the end of today's message, I'll tell you what I did to those people. Today's topic in the I Pray series is, it's not what you give, it's how you give and why. Our series so far has covered a number of topics in our I Pray series, starting off the year with an I Pray intro where we got those cool little clocks, those little beepers that go off every hour. And I know if I hear about 20 or so, I'd better hurry up with the rest of my message to stop and pray as things go on. Moving our way through a Sunday called Naked Soul, Lectio Divina, and last week, Fasting for Dummies. Hopefully you got a lot out of that, and a number of people were able to do that, to fast, but to do so with the right intentions. On with the story. There's my family growing up. That was taken on Easter Sunday, 1969. Yes, they did have color photos back that far. In regards to giving, I'll be honest, it was not a pleasant thing in the Slauson house. I'm the great-looking guy on the right, by the way, and then my brother Wayne, sister Julie, and little sister Linda. That's us. We would go to church, and as we did on that Sunday at our church that was just about 2-3 blocks away. Giving was not pleasant there because the pastor, he would watch as the collection baskets went around, and if he didn't see enough money go in, he would say, "Ushers, send it around again." I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Thanks for being generous today. And as we'd get in the car to go to church, it was, "Have you got your envelope? Have you got your envelope?" It was very, very strict. And in regards to finances, we were afraid that some of these things would happen, that the bouncers would do something to us if we didn't have, look, our envelope. The pastor even sent out a report to everybody in the church one year listing how much every family gave. I'm not kidding. He really did. Wow. Wow. Now, some churches have gotten creative with their appeals for money. This is not from a training video for the ushers here at the River. Can you see the guy on the left and kind of what he's got? That is not part of our training video here, just so you know. All right. We all know that churches need resources to do things. And I'm not going to say what maybe some of you are already thinking I'm going to, that unless you give, God's going to get you. Today is nothing at all like that. My approach is about how we give. Our approach is why we give of our time and our resources. That's what today is about. And giving is a form of prayer. So starting that prayer, if you'd bow your heads with me in praying for the rest of today's message. Thank you, dear God, for another opportunity to learn more, to experience more of you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. We open ourselves to the work of your Spirit here. Dear God, fill my mind with useful stuff and shut it when I've said enough. Amen. Giving is a form of prayer. It is. The Lord made that clear very much when he was talking about the heart of the giver, not just the pocket, the wallet, the purse of the giver. And an example of that taken from Scripture, the widow's offering from the Gospel of Mark, that Jesus pulled his friends together and sat them down and he said, watch as the people bring their tithes, their offerings. And they saw people put in a lot of money. And then he said, make sure, look. And there was a widow who put in two small copper coins. He said, did you notice? Who gave the most? It wasn't the people who gave great sums of money because they gave out of their wealth, out of their surplus. He said, it was the woman who gave all she had. It's not what we give, it's how we give. And our motives are very important as we give. What we give should be given with motives that have an attitude of worship to God and service to the body of Christ. Motives in our giving. What are motives? Motives are why you do what you do. Are the motives that we use ones that say, I'm doing this just because I want to give, or because I'm expecting to receive something? Do you see how that's different? When we do things out of pure motives, that's the type of giving that God honors, calls for, and asks us to do. Christian giving is supposed to be from the heart, a motive of love, not a desire for rewards in any way. It's not like a tollway where we know that we have to pay in order to pass through. That's not the type of giving that God wants us to do. The motives that we have for giving are important. And here are some of these that we've took from somebody else. George O. Wood. Our motives, our true motive for giving should always be the grace of God. The example of others is a legitimate inspiration for our giving. When we watch other people and we see the joy that they have. Our concern for excellence should include our giving. Pastor Dale is always talking about how we need to promote excellence here in the music, the worship, the programs, the offerings. All of that is part of our concern for excellence. Giving is patterned after the example of Christ, who gave out of love. That's an important motive to follow. We should give what we can, even when it's not all we desire. It's a tough time. We know that. God knows that. And though we may not be able to give of our time and our money as we want, still, we should be able to give some. Our motive is there should be equal sacrifice throughout the body of Christ, of everybody joining together. We need assurance that the offerings we give will be properly accounted for and administered. And you have that. This church does very well in being accountable for what it is blessed with. Our enthusiasm in giving is catching. A generous church spills over. Two more. Those who sow bountifully will reap bountifully. We know that. And finally, our giving should result in praise being given to God as that flows over to the community around us. And people say, God is a great God. And the people of the river are a fantastic people. When you put the word giving and attitude together, what comes to your mind? Giving and attitude. Is it one that is joyful? Is it one that says, there you go? What is our attitude as we give to God? We know that giving is a vital ministry here at the river. Very much so. And this point was made very clear to me. Let me back up a second. When I talk about giving, I'm not talking about your wallet. I'm not talking about your checkbook. Mostly, it's about our attitude and motives. So if you think I'm here to shake you down for money today so we can get the heat on in the building, no, it's not. So don't worry about that. And even when it comes to the money part, which is coming, it's not going to be what you're thinking, I promise. Just letting you know. Okay, giving is a vital ministry. If there wasn't generous giving, there simply wouldn't be a church, would there? And there are so many different ways of giving. And a good example of how this really hit me recently was when I went to a church dinner somewhere. I always like to go to the churches, the schools that are offering things for fundraisers. And as we were finishing up a meal, getting to know people, not wanting to be a burden, a bother, I picked up my dishes, my silverware, cleaned up my place, and went to bust my own table. This lady yelled at me. She said, "Sir, you are depriving me of my ministry." I thought it was a joke at first, too, but she was serious. She said, "That's my job. I want to do this. Don't rob me of my ministry." I poured my lemonade all over the floor. No, I didn't. But the point hit home in my mind and in my heart. What she was doing it with joy and doing it for the Lord. And that helped me to see that it's not just the preacher in front. It's not just the organ grinder or the guitar player. You like that, Sean? It's everybody from the greeters, those who clean, those who pray behind the curtain. Thanks, keep it up. It's everybody. All ministry is important to God. It's all. Serve wholeheartedly as if we are serving God, not man. Whatever we do, to do that with joy. And the effects of that joy ripple out. And here's an example from the river, which has been told to me by three different people. In the extensive remodeling that happened long before I came here, that they were doing the painting upstairs. How many people know the story already? That they were doing so with such joy, somebody came who didn't like church, who had it with church, but saw the way they were serving, saw the way they were painting, and saw the way they were a community together. And that transform this person who now is with our church. There are many stories of that, of people that giving, and you think painting a wall is a ministry? Absolutely it is. And it's that heart that people have here at the river that is making a big difference. I wanted to tell you about something else that I experienced, a whole community showing this. For the last 8 years, I've been able to go to New Orleans every summer, even before Hurricane Katrina hit, to minister in that community. They need God. We stayed right in the French Quarter. And every Sunday for the last 10 years, except for one Sunday during Hurricane Katrina, these people feed the hungry. It's not a chore for them. As these pictures go on, look at their expressions on their face. They can't wait to get in the kitchen. They bring their delicacies from home, the favorite prized recipes, and they make this and serve this to the hungry, knowing that that might be the only really good meal they have that day. And it's not just the food that ministers to their body, to their hunger pains, but it is the fellowship, it is the joy, it is the love that is expressed. And each summer, the groups that I've been with, we get to assist in feeding people who are hungry, people who are lonely, people who are in need of relationship. Those are individually baked pumpkin pies that were given out. Badger likes those? I do too. The whipped cream must be at the end because that way they can stack them. But look at the faces of those people. It's not so much what we give, it's how we give. That's the big point of today. And these weren't just people who had their life all together. It wasn't just people who were healthy. May on the left, dear friend, is near the end of her time here on earth, racked with cancer. And yet look at the smile on her face. She says, if I have breath for the day, I will go out and serve. And that smile's always on her face. What an example to me and an encouragement to all of us. Okay. We're going to go through a number of major areas of giving for the church that I wanted to address. And I'm not going to throw the buckets of water out at you again. The first bucket that we have is outreach, a very important ministry of every church, but extremely important here. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 to 2, it says, regarding the relief offering for poor Christians that is being collected, you get the same instructions I gave the church in Galatia. Every Sunday, each of you make an offering and put it in safekeeping. Be as generous as you can. Outreach here. Here's a couple snapshots my son took as they were talking about the food pantry. And the food pantry ministers to a lot of people here, and many people bring items. But again, talking about the attitude of giving, when you're going through your pantry or going through the store to bring food for the hungry, do you say, oh, here's the kidney beans, I'll give them those. Or things that you don't like, or the dented cans. Or when you're at the store and saying, I want to bring some food for the food pantry, what would really bless the families the most? What would be good? What would they enjoy? See the difference? The outreach that we have. And everything that you give for the food pantry is very much appreciated. Other ministries, outreach ministries, are the Ark and Take Two ministries to those who are homeless, ministries to those in the communities. As part of the March workshops, even there will be an outreach on that Sunday, that people will be heading up, going out and making a difference in the community, doing so with great joy. Okay. And we don't do that in order to get on TV, in order to get in the papers. And here's a real good reason why. And it says in the Gospel of Matthew, I'll read it over here then. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I'm so glad I wrote that down. John Bunyan, an English Puritan writer and preacher, said, you have not really lived until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. It's a good thought, isn't it? Those are some of the highlights of the outreach area here at the river. Let's look at another major area of giving, and that is, oh, what is that now? We're on to children already? I think we're going back to worship. No, don't worry, Sean. You don't have to get up. We're on our way there. Okay, the worship bucket, talking about how we give worship. Psalm 100, verse 2 says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs." Joyful songs. If there's an exclamation mark in the lyrics, we're supposed to be excited about that. As we worship God, let it out. Who cares if you're waving your hands and you accidentally hit somebody? It's done in love. It's done in love. Just say, "Forgive me." I love the worship here. It's an important part of my life. And I hope it is for you too. It's not just, let's hurry up and get through these so we can get to the message, so we can get on with our Sundays. To sing. God gave you your voice. Make Him listen to it. All right? I mean, that goes really well on this side. I've heard some of you sing. It's where I normally sit. But you do it with joy. And that's what matters. So make God listen to your voice. A good way to put it is brought up in the song The Motions by Matthew West in regards to worship. And here the words read such. I'm not going to sing it. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions? The needs we have here with the worship. I asked Sean a week ago, what do we need? He said, everything. We need more singers. We need more musicians. More people helping with the audiovisual. There are lots of needs. And if God has blessed you with those gifts and you're willing to share those joyfully, well, come on. Get involved. Get involved. Wow. Is that where I need to be in the program? Oh, look, we're back. Okay, good. The technology team, as they are, I mean, we're filling in for people who are gone right now. Thanks for your patience with that. Those are some of the highlights of worship. Give your praise to God. Help us worship the Lord. The next item that we have is Kids Church. Kids Church, this ministry has a lot of needs. It's not just babysitting brats. It's not. It's shepherding souls. It is. As you can tell, there's a growing number of kids here at the river. Do you have the slide taken upstairs? It's like the next one or something like that. There we go. This was taken last week. We have a growing number of kids here. I don't know what's in the water. We have so many young people who are coming here. Dwight Moody, evangelist, very famous, said, "If I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God." Huh? Isn't that important? But think for a minute. Well, who was your favorite teacher? Think. And the next question is, what did he or she do that made the difference? Was it their expertise, command of the topic? Probably not. It was because they cared about you. They were interested in you and your development. That's what makes a great teacher. Here at the river, we need lots of help with the kids' ministry. Here are some of the requirements that you need. It's very detailed, so listen carefully. The very first requirement you need is to love God. You can't teach what you don't know. First requirement to work with kids' ministry is to love God. The second one, to love kids. That's it. Two requirements. And the more people get involved, the more kids see lived examples of Christian life. We love having the kids up here singing and being participating in the lifeblood of the church. Some Sundays we don't have enough people even to staff the rooms upstairs. We need more people working with our young kids to help make that a great experience, and how wonderful it is seeing them run down the stairs and show their moms, their dads, their family what they learned upstairs. We've got great people involved who are reflecting Christ. We need even more. We need even more people. And upstairs, letting you know another need we have, they don't even have a reliable television upstairs. They can't play a video. They need a $400 nice TV with a DVD player that works. I'm letting you know the need because that's what's necessary upstairs. Okay? Here we go. The average child laughs about 400 times per day. The average adult laughs only 15 times a day. What happened to the other 385 laughs? We need to learn from them as well. We really do. Okay, to transition us into the next bucket that we have, here's a story. A man had a serious heart attack, was taken to the hospital. The doctor said he was in a very delicate condition and was not to be excited in any way. While he was there, word came that his rich uncle had died and he had been left several million dollars. The family, not wanting to excite the man, tried to think of a delicate way to bring up the subject so they didn't have two funerals to go to. They decided they would bring in the preacher, who would be calm and collected. And through the course of their gathering together, the preacher brought up the topic. So, hypothetically speaking, what would happen if you were to find that you inherited several million dollars? The man thought and said, "I would give half to the church." The preacher dropped dead of a heart attack. The next bucket is finances. The next bucket is about that. Well, when I started coming to the river, I noticed that little attention was given to the offering. Very little attention was given. A matter of fact, they would rush through it, quickly flash the slide up on the screen and say, "Now if you're new here, don't you dare give. This isn't for you." And so I thought, wow, that's different than most churches. Maybe something really special happened to them. Maybe they had somebody kind of like this. Maybe that's what happened at the river. And I thought, you know, stuff like that can happen. I showed this slide to Pastor Dale before he left because I said, if we get that podcast thing working, you're going to hear this laughter, and I want you to know why. That has not happened here at the river. And we also have not planted a special garden of these. Those aren't around either. And as I started coming to meetings, as I started learning more about the finances here at the river, I found it was a little bit more like this, of the feeling of people who, in regards to money here at the river, that they were just like free-falling out of it. I'd like to share with you some of the things that I heard. I believe it's appropriate that you hear. I believe it's appropriate. These are some bullet points now of what I have learned in the few months that I've been here. That most ministries here, when people accept a position, they also accept the responsibility for raising their own budget. That's the first point. I learned that most required maintenance here at the river has been put on hold. So you might see buckets in the aisles. It's not from the movie. It's because the roof is leaking. And that the river even has had to stop giving a small portion to support missions, something that they want to do. Pastor Dale said, yes, he is uncomfortable talking about money. And he said, "Wes, you have relatively fresh eyes. Where are our weaknesses here? You've been involved with other churches and ministries. Where are our weaknesses?" And I said, "Well, it's not in the heart, because these people are genuinely loving. It's not in the hands because they are freely giving, are warm and welcoming. You can't get in without a handshake, a hug. It's not in the feet because they're out and doing outreach to so many areas. The main problem I see, and this is what I told them months ago, is in the wallet. Is in the wallet and the ministry of giving. That's where I saw things. In general, I think we're all on a road to discovering what God has plans for us. There's also a plan that God has for our money. I'd like you to read this quote with me, if you would. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. For those who are giving generously with joy, God bless you. The lights wouldn't be on if it wasn't for you. I am not going to tell you you must give. Doesn't work that way here. Doesn't work that way. Quick story from my life. Years ago, pumping gas at a station after a conference thinking of Culver's Butter Burgers, and that's when there was only a couple stands. As I was pumping the gas, God said, when you're done pumping gas and paying for it, give all the money to the car that's now pulling into the property. And I saw an old four-door sedan pull up to a pump, and everybody stayed inside. I argued with God for a while, but I thought, no, if you're telling me that, there must be a reason. I paid for the gas. I went up to the car. I handed all the money in my wallet to him, and I said, God told me to give this to you. I'd never done that before. The people said, sir, are you an angel? I thought about that for a moment. And then said, my wife and children would disagree with that statement. True. They said, sir, God has sent you. We had no money for gas. Our children have not eaten. But God told us to pull into this station. God supplies. Just a few months later, as I'm looking over the bills on brightly colored paper, that's never a good thing. I told my wife in the next room, unless we get $1,500, I'm going to jail. That's what I said and meant. I looked out the window and a car pulled out. A friend of ours we hadn't seen in a while got out of his car with an envelope. I see the nodding heads. You got it. Slipped an envelope underneath our front door, went back to his car and drove away, opening the envelope in cash, $1,500. We can't outgive God. When we're generous in giving, He is generous in supplying. Real quickly, through the rest of these, other buckets that we have, miscellaneous buckets. For all of the other ministries that are going on here at the church, lots of needs, lots of opportunities. Please make those. God calls us to be generous in our giving, but just as you excel in everything, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Or another verse in 2 Corinthians 9:13 says, you glorify God by the generosity of your sharing. God asks us to be generous, free in our giving. And that's what the definition is, free in giving or sharing, noble, open-handed. There are lots of benefits of giving. I'll post these on the internet this week because we don't have time for them. But when we don't give generously, that is something that's important. And we can just scroll through these real fast if you would. When we don't give generously, here's something that happened. At church one day a number of years ago, I'm at church, and again that strong voice comes to me and it says, look to your left. Look at the old lady with the white hair. Lord, that describes virtually everyone. Can you be a little more specific? The one with the red glasses. Okay, I see her. What's next? I want you to catch her after church. Final blessing comes. Out the door, people start to go, and I look, she's running out of the church building. What? I'm pushing past people. I get out the stairs down, and I see her. She's sprinting. She's 80 in the shade, if that. She's sprinting with her purse. She's running down the street. She gets to her car. She opens the door, and I'm out of breath. She turns on the car, has her hand on the shift lever as I get up to the car. On the hood, not kidding, on the hood, going, this is not a good idea. She didn't shift to drive, thank God. Like, what am I doing? She looks up, sees it's me, rolls down the window. I hadn't a clue who this lady was. Get in the car, Wes. Get in the car. Okay. All right, Lord, you got me this far. And I sit down. I go, who are you? What am I doing here? She says, my name is Rosemary. You're here because God sent you. I said, well, tell me, what? I've been running from God. God has told me something to do, and I've just told him no for the longest time. What has God told you, Rosemary? That I'm supposed to pray for you and for your family. You see, I live right behind you, Wes, but you don't know that. You take the boys around the block in the wagon. I see you. God wakes me up in the middle of the night and says, pray for the Slossons. And I've told them no and have gone back to sleep. But God has sent you. I will do what I'm told. I will do that. To my knowledge, Rosemary prayed for the Slosson family every day for the rest of her life. And so the question is, has God told you something to do in regards to giving? Are you running from God? Don't be like Jonah. He did the same thing. Don't be like Jonah. And don't make God have Wes run after you in regards to your giving. God calls us to be generous givers. He does. We have some workshops on finances that are coming up. I encourage you to sign up for those. Opportunities for giving are always there. Oh, this is the slide I've wanted to use for years. Look at that. That was the best sermon on giving I ever heard. Take a look at what the guys are wearing. I thought, that's a church. That's some sermon. Please don't put your clothing in the offering, though. That'll get back to the pastor. I ran after the people who gave me the lousy $1 tip. I said, hello? Was something wrong? Yeah. Yeah, there was. Oh, I wasn't expecting that answer. Did I do something wrong? Did I offend you? Did I not give you service that you were expecting? Oh no, you were great. It was the busboy who gave us death stares the entire time we were in the restaurant. He gave us the creeps. It wasn't you. You gave well. You seem like you know us. You seem like you know us, and you did your best. If you promised not to share with that busboy, and out came the wallet, we want you to have this. Sometimes when we share, it's well received or not received, but often it just needs to be understood that there might be something other than us that's involved with it. for us not to take things personally. When you give, it shouldn't be whether or not the sermon was good or Sean's music was tight or the popcorn was popped or not. It should still be generous so that the work of God can continue. Today's challenge is this. Please give generously of your time, of your heart, of your wallet. The key verse. And as the worship team comes up, I'll be leading the prayer for that. Again, this is so key that I wanted us... Let's read this together, okay? Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give grace to us, the living stones of your church, to reflect prayerfully at this special time on our love for you and our neighbors. Make us mindful of the many gifts you bestow upon us, and we ask that your Holy Spirit will inspire and direct us in our choice of giving. Strengthen us, Lord, to meet this challenge according to your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given all that we may live. May we be generous, Lord. Now and always, this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.